Hello again, class. This is Greg Calhoun, and this is another session of the Spirit of Honor. This is class number 7. I trust that you guys enjoyed the prosperity revival we just had, and I thank God that God has tremendously blessed you, and you've been enlightened by that. Now we're getting back into our class sessions, and we're going to continue in the area of the Spirit of Honor. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I am going to rejoice and be glad in it, showing forth the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I trust, Lord God, that the students will get everything they need, and that, Lord God, these class sessions will complement Apostles' class, Lord God, and teach each and every one of us how to walk in honor in a greater degree. And as always, Lord, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So, Holy Spirit, I'm leaning and dependent upon you. Praise God. My dependency is upon you. I'm not leaning on my own ability, but I'm leaning on your ability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, class, we're going to get into this class number 7. And what we're going to be teaching on is going to be honoring power structures. Honoring power structures. And before I start, I did have one student who had a message or sent me an email stating that she hasn't received her book yet. And what I was informed that, I think I might have mentioned it earlier, in earlier class sessions, but this particular class, the book, The Spirit of Honor, is no longer in print, and we're not able to get any more copies. But as I stated previously, all my exam and quiz material is coming straight from the lecture, and what's coming from the lecture is coming from the book. Especially this session is coming straight from the book. So as long as you pay attention to the lecture and take the quizzes, pass the quizzes, and study your quiz questions, you should do excellent in this class. All right, we're studying honoring power structure. One of the principal truths that the author has in this section of the book, he says that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. You'll hear me say that throughout this class session. The greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. Now, what I want to do is actually read a little bit from Romans chapter 13, and I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to skip a little bit, and I'm going to go down to verse 7. But we'll probably read Romans 13, 1, 2, and maybe 3. I'm not really sure how far I'm going to go down. And then I'm going to also read some scriptures from the Amplified Bible. So turn me with your Bibles to Romans, the 13th chapter, and verse 1. It reads, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive unto themselves damnation. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise in the same." Now I'm going to go down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Then verse 8 says, I want to definitely bring this in the context, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And I stated we're talking about honoring power structures, giving honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Now, that same verse of scriptures, I'm going to read some of this from the Amplified Bible. It's going to give us a little bit more clarification, and I'm going to expound on it a little bit more. All right, Romans 13, verse 1 from the Amplified says, "Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. So what's that saying is that, you know, there's no authority except the authority that's given by God. And it goes on to say that by his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. So God is the author of authority. And we should honor the power structures that God has set in place. It goes on to say in verse 2, therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. Now, this is the Amplified Bible. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Verse 3. For the civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct. In other words, the police, the city government, the national government. It said it's not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do that which is right, and you will receive his approval and commendation. Verse 4. But he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, you shall dread him and be afraid. For he does not bear the sword or wear the sword or the pistol in vain for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance on evildoers. All right, I'm going to skip back down to verse 8. It says, verse 7, here it is. Render to all their dues, or what's owed them. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And honor to whom honor is due. Okay, now, what I want to point out here is it's showing four different levels: tribute, custom, fear, and honor. And it says that we're to give honor, to give tribute, to give custom to whom custom is due. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. We are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute is due. We're obligated to give fear or reverence to whom reverence is due. And we're obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. And an obligation is a bound by moral obligation and also spiritual obligation. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor to all men. We are examples. We will explain each of these individually. All right, this is something that you're going to definitely need to know. Anytime you go into a place or a region of the world and you have a tremendous amount of anointing, God has blessed you, you're tremendously anointed, that anointing level on your life will go all the way down if you dishonor the land, the people, their customs, and the apostolic gift in that region. I'm going to read that again. Anytime you go into a place. Now, this lesson is kind of set in with an evangelistic, it's kind of geared towards evangelism when we go out to other countries or other regions, how we're to respect the customs, the traditions of that particular area, if we want to be received properly. So with that in mind, I'm reading this again. Anytime you go into a place or a region in the world and you have been gifted with a tremendous amount of anointing, that anointing level on your life goes all the way down if you dishonor the land, the people, their customs, and the apostolic gift in that region. That's so very important. There are four kinds or types of honor to be bestowed or let me read that again. There are four types of honor to be bestowed, conferred, and presented to those worthy of honor, especially when traveling to minister in certain places or in parts of a ministry team in a foreign country or nation. And those things, as I stated earlier, are tribute, custom, fear, and honor. And we read that in scriptures a few minutes ago. And it's very important that we understand that it's our duty and responsibility to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen? There's an expression that says, when in Rome, do like the Romans do. And that kind of actually fits well here. So when you're in a particular area, it's so very important that you understand the customs, the traditions. Give you an example. When you go to England, and if you were to meet, say, the Queen or somebody of royalty, there's certain customs and certain things that you must do and things that you should not do. You know, you don't just reach out your hand to greet the king or the prime minister or people who are considered royal in England. That's considered not acceptable. If they extend their hand to you, you extend their hand to them. But it's just, that's just a custom. You know, I know several years ago, one of the first ladies, I think, may have reached out and hugged the queen when she graciously accepted. But I remember the news media talking about, you know, she should have waited for the queen to give that gesture and not to give that gesture herself. But that's just a simple custom. But in every region, there's different customs. You remember back when you used to watch Westerns, one of the customs they had of the American Indian was smoking the peace pipe. And if you refuse, you were, in a sense, insulting them. And I'm just going over some small little areas. But in every area of the country, there's always a custom or something that people do as a ritual that's not necessarily a law, but it's something that they hold dear in their society. We're not to break those traditions, those rites. If we want to go in there and minister Christ to them, we need to honor the laws of their land, amen, or the traditions of their land. All right, I think I've got that down really pat, okay? If you want God's presence, his glory, and his anointing to show up, you must honor the laws of the land, its people, their customs, and the apostolic gift in that region where you're traveling, because God is a God of divine order. I don't know if you remember a few minutes ago, I read, and actually it was the Amplified Bible. It talked about how God, and actually it was verse 2, it says, therefore, he who resists and sets himself against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. One of the things I try to get over to students in this class is that God is a God of order. And it's so very important that we understand divine order. Protocol. You know, I talk a lot about protocol. I talk a lot about ranks, you know, positions. And we need to know who has rank, who has position, and understand the protocol. Because all of these factors will aid when we minister and when we're received. Because if you disrespect those in authority, the people will not receive you well. They're not. It's just not going to happen. Amen? God is a God of order. We must submit to the established order of government and the customs that are set up in the countries we evangelize, if we want God's presence and power to flow freely in our lives. You just cannot do what you want to do. You must follow the spiritual protocol. You should not just go into a church and disrespect the order of the service, the leader, or the people. You will not be received. One of the point I put here in my notes, you know, we need to see ourselves as going out into the nations. You know, never see yourself as just being local. Always see yourself as, Lord, my outreach of what I'm doing has global significance. Even as an instructor, I know I have students not only in this country but in other countries. So what I'm doing right now as an instructor has global significance. Amen? because God has sent us to the nations. Amen. And we need to be ready in order to go to the nations and be a blessing to those people God has assigned us to. Okay, so the first area we want to deal with is giving tribute to whom tribute is due. Okay, honor with tribute. When you travel to a foreign land, you are subject to the tax, law, structure, and civil government laws of that land. Tribute is honoring the laws and the taxes of that land, the government systems of that country. That's so very important that we understand that. Tribute means paying taxes, duty, a tax or payment for imports and export of goods and services. And one also must honor certain levels of structure within civil government. So all of that is wrapped up in tribute, paying tribute to whom tribute is due. Listen up. When you honor the law of the land, you are giving tribute because whatever country you're in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil government, governmental laws of that land. Let me read that again. That's something you're going to definitely need to know. When you honor the laws with an S of that land, you are giving tribute because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure and the civil governmental laws of that land. That's so very important. That's giving tribute to whom tribute is due. And with that said, I might be getting ahead of myself, but you recall where, matter of fact, I'm going to go to it right now because it's on my heart. In Mark chapter 12, verses 14 and 17, they tried to trip Jesus up with a question of who should we be loyal to. Should we be loyal to you, Jesus, or should we be loyal to Caesar? It says here in Mark 12, 14 and 17 in the King James Version, it says, "And when they were come," it's talking probably to the Sadducees and the Sadducees, "they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person or men, but teach it the way of God in truth. Then they said, is it lawful or right to give tribute to Caesar or not?" So they're trying to trip him up to see who his allegiance was to. All right, now, in verse 15, it says, then they go on and say, shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, "Why temptest ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it." Now, this is Jesus talking. "And they brought it. And he said unto them, who is the image and the subscription?" And they said, "Caesar." In other words, whose inscription, whose picture is on that penny? "And Jesus answered and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And they marveled at him." So here Jesus is giving a principle. You render to Caesar, to whatever country that you're in, going back to tribute, to duty. You know, the word duty, I can better define duty by actually telling you what duty-free is. If you ever been to some of the islands, you know, Jamaica, Bahama, Barbados, what have you, there's certain stores that have what they call duty-free merchandise. I'm going to just give you a definition of that. Okay, duty-free is the act of being able to purchase an item in a particular country without having to pay taxes, imports, sales, value added, or other taxes to it. It's exempt from the duties and taxes. So basically, that's duty-free. But when you talk about duty, you talk about the taxes, whatever imports or exports that needs to be paid. You know, when you're in that country, you're subject to the duty of that country, or the tribute of that country. Amen. Because you're giving tribute, going back to Caesar. Render to Caesar what is Caesar. Whoever is over that country, you have to render to them what is theirs. But at the same time, Jesus said, render to God what is God's. Amen. The laws, rules, and regulations in a kingdom or country, a nation or land have been put in place to govern the people, the lives in these prospective regions. So by observing and obeying these laws, rules, and regulations and aligning to them, you show honor as it pertains to the Pacific protocol of the land, the nation, and the country. Jesus said, honor Caesar by giving Caesar what is his and God what belongs to God. When people violate the laws or the tax laws and the trade agreements, the tariffs, the customs duties, they are actually bringing a curse on their lives. And this curse could even remain generationally. If you do something wrong in a country, it can have adverse effect, and it could be a generational thing that goes, you know, for generations. In Hebrews 7 and 13, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable to you. For that is unprofitable to you. Yes, okay. All right, so the first area is giving tribute to whom tribute is due. And I think we've covered that. Number two is custom to whom custom is due. All right, custom, and I think I looked up a definition of custom. Here it is. Custom is a continuous practice with regards to a society, a common practice that is not necessarily a law, but could be a common law that is upheld by that society. So you don't want to disrespect or disobey the customs of a country. It says custom is honoring the people of the land. You must honor the people, their customs, provided that their customs do not violate the scripture requirements for life or do not violate the word of God. You know, they may have a custom that's totally against God's word, and where God's word is sovereign. So it reigns and rules supreme. But as long as their customs don't violate scripture, we are to honor their customs. And customs also is their ritual practices. I'll give you an example. I have a cousin. Years ago, he and his family moved to Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia has different customs than we have here in America. One of the customs is that women are to walk behind the man while they're in Saudi Arabia, and they have to have their head covered. And my cousin's wife, you know, she said, whenever I was with, you know, my cousin Walter, I had to have my head covered out in public. But as long as I was on the American compound, which was kind of like an American embassy, you can adhere to American customs with no penalty. But the minute you walk out of the compound which they lived in and walked into Saudi, you know, I guess you can say Saudi ground, you had to abide by the Saudi customs. You know, so, and what happens, this is just one illustration, but what happens is if you disobey, this is just one example, if you disobey their customs and they see, well, why doesn't she have her head covered? Or why he's wearing a certain type of attire, or, you know, vice versa. They're going to be more moved and disturbed by you disobeying their customs than the word that's coming forth out of your mouth. And that's why it's so important in evangelism, especially when you're going to other countries, that you first research the dynamics of a country. Research what is customary and what is not customary, so that you don't violate the customs of that particular region. That way, when you come and you respect their customs, they're going to respect you for respecting their customs. So now they're going to receive more readily what you are sharing in regards to the Word of God, because you're respecting their customs. And I think I've hit that point pretty strongly. Honoring custom is honoring the people, the land. You honor the people, their land, their customs, provided, like I said, they don't violate scripture. And that's so very important. Anytime you go into a place in the world, and you might be tremendously anointed again, if you disrespect the people and their native customs, the anointing levels go all the way down. In other words, then they're not going to receive you. Every people or ethnic group, tribe, or nationality has their individual customs and cultures that make up the uniqueness of that people. You must honor their cultures and their customs. Amen. Honoring the people of the land by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country. This is giving honor to whom, I'm sorry, this is giving custom to whom custom is due. I'm going to read that again. Honoring the people of the land by respecting their cultures, showing honor to the people of that country. This is giving custom to whom custom is due. Amen. All right, so that's very, very important. If their customs and their cultures do not violate scripture standards and requirements for living, the customs and the cultures must be respected, observed, and kept, and even preserved. And I already gave you an example about Saudi Arabia and women, and that was just one. I know another situation where some missionaries was actually going into a primitive society, a society that hadn't been developed, but they had strong customs in that society. And I'm not going to go into detail of what they were doing, but they were caught as husband and wife doing something that was completely taboo to the custom of this tribal country. Well, once they saw them, you know, doing this taboo thing, they dragged them out of their tent and killed them. So they didn't do the research that needed to be done. So obviously their ministry got put to a screeching halt, you know. But it's very important that, you know, we honor the customs of the land, of the people. Amen. All right, let's move on. Let's go to fear, to whom fear. And my time is really zipping by. Honor with fear. Now, that word fear is not a scary type of fear, but it's a reverential type of fear, reverential respect for dignitaries and apostolic government and leadership in a region. Honoring with fear. Honoring fear is honoring the ranks and the spiritual dignitaries of the land. Apostolic and prophetic are the apostles and the prophets of that land, the apostolic voice of that region. Knowing who has, knowing who they are before you go to minister in a region, so you don't violate the ranks, the spiritual protocol that's set in place by God's anointing. So it's you know. If you're going, even in America, if you're going to minister, say if somebody came down and they were going to do a revival in Darrell or Gonzales, they need to honor the apostolic head of that region, which is Apostle Thompson. And it should be customary for them to go and let Apostle know, look, we're coming and we're going to be doing a revival. And it's going to be a healing revival, but we just want to, you know, get your blessing before we come into your camp, into your region that God has given you spiritual authority over. Instead of just coming in and just setting up shop and start teaching something that may not necessarily be contrary to what the apostle is teaching, but it's on another plane. You know, it's so very important because God has given Apostle Thompson an assignment of preaching prosperity to the body of Christ. But at the same time, even now, we're talking healing and health. But if somebody comes and start teaching something different, they really need to get his blessing before they come in. Because basically right now, what you're doing is if you're not giving fear a reverence or a reverential respect to whom that respect is due. And that's so very important. For this reason, it is always important to research an area before you go there. Fear is reverence and respect for the spiritual dignitaries or the apostolic government that God has set in place in that area. Okay, listen up. Showing fear or reverence to those God placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries of that land. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in that particular region is so important so that you don't dishonor those that God has set in place in that region. This is honoring God and honoring God's apostolic government. That's so very important. You know, that's why even if somebody decided they're going to build a church close by an apostolic leader, you first want to touch bases. You know, you don't want to just go in and encroach in an area that God already has an established apostolic presence there without giving that apostolic presence honor and at least respecting the ranks that's in that area. Amen. And I'm going to move on with all that said. One of the things I want to point out is all people are not equal, and I've said that before, in rank. Not all have the same gift, anointing, endowment, or abilities, or even the same spiritual level. You must honor the ranks set in place, just like in the government and in the military. You know, if you're a private and a sergeant walks, y'all crossing path, you salute. That's honoring his position. So when you go into an apostolic region where God has an apostolic leader and you're a pastor, you need to honor. And by honor, I mean sow into that apostolic gift and let them know your intentions. That's just, you know, that's how God's government should be set up. And when it's set up that way, everybody get blessed. The anointing of God can flow on your ministry. And people are going to respect you because you respect the dignitaries or the apostolic government that God has in that region. Amen? All right, let me move on because my time is well spent. All right. I'm going to give you some scripture here to help back what I just said up. In 1 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That's 1 Timothy 5:17 in the King James Version. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. The Amplified Bible that says, let the elders who perform their duties of their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and be adequately financially and be adequately financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. You show honor by sowing to those who have spiritual rule over you. That's, you know, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. And I've said that over and over again. All right, let's move on to number four. I have about 6 minutes left. Honoring or honor to whom honor is due. Now, these two kind of, the last one we talked about fear, a reverential fear in honoring the apostolic government. And not only just the apostolic government, but you also, there's the rule of double reference or the law of double reference. You know, you honor the government of that land also, but more so you honor the spiritual apostolic government of a region. So going back to giving honor to Caesar, or, you know, render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but also rendering unto God what is God's. But in the fourth area, it says honor to whom honor is due. Okay? This is in irrespective of where you are. You want to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor to whom honor is due, the apostolic gift that God has placed in an area. apostolic and prophetic gifts in that land. This honor, this is honoring the anointing that's in the land. This means honoring the apostolic gift that's in whatever region you're in. One way of doing this is to sow an offering into the higher ranks, the apostolic gift, with greater anointing in that region than you have. I use the scripture reference of Hebrews 7:7, where it talks about without all contradiction, the less is blessed because of the better. That's a scripture that you need to know and have God give you a revelation of. Without all contradiction, Hebrews 7:7, the less is blessed because of the better. So when God places you in a region where there's an apostolic or a prophetic gift, when you sow up into that gift, the blessing come down. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in lives of other people. You know, it's honoring the apostolic, honoring God's government so that God's government could be accepted. When people see other people honoring the apostolic, it brings a reverence, it brings a respect, and it shows the sovereignty of God. And people following the protocol, the governmental divine order that God has set in place. And when God's governmental divine order is honored properly, the blessing of God will profusely abound in that region. I know I'm saying a lot, but you know, honor is so very, very important. Because first and foremost, as we learned, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, we must honor God. But God has set his government. The Bible says that the government is on his shoulders. And so it's so very important that okay, now if the government is on the shoulders of Jesus, we need to honor those ministry gifts that God has placed in our region, in our ranks, by respecting and honoring what God has placed in them. So what's, as I stated earlier, what's on them can come down upon us. Amen. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. Here again, we're kind of talking about ministry travels or evangelism. But basically, when you honor the anointing that's in the land, or giving honor to whom honor is due, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. There's not a time where if I'm in the presence of an evangelist or somebody, I shared this a couple of weeks ago. I just happened to be several months ago, my wife and I and another couple from the church, we were eating at a really nice restaurant after church service, and there was an evangelist in the house, or in the restaurant. I recognize him. I recognize his son, his family. And immediately, the Holy Spirit, just because of my training, I knew I had to sow a seed. I knew I had to honor, to give honor to whom honor is due. You know, it doesn't make sense to get that close to somebody who's that anointed without sowing into their lives because of the lives they have affected. Hebrews 7:7. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed because of the better. Sowing up so that the anointing can come down. And, I'll tell you who it was. It was an evangelist, Jimmy Swaggart. And he and his son, they stopped at our table after I sowed a nice seed into his hand. And they shook my hand. And I just told him, I said, sir, I can't let you leave without giving honor to you. I get emotional because I know, Alexis, stop. I know how important that is. And I know what that can do to my life and my ministry by sowing into someone of greater rank and dignity, or dignity, a dignitary, I should say. That's important, because that's the way God's government is set up. And when you follow the protocol of God's government by respecting and honoring those who are in the ranks, God cannot help but bless you, because you're blessing his government and you giving, what's the word I want to use? And I'm out of time, really. But you understand, my time is up. See you next week. And I thank God that